The story is told of a bookie who was at the races and, quite frankly, all but losing his shirt. At the fourth race, he noticed a priest step onto the track and bless the forehead of one of the horses lining up. Lo and behold, that horse, a long shot, won the race. The next race, as the horses lined up, the priest once again stepped onto the track. Sure enough, he blessed one of the horses. The bookie made a beeline for the betting window and placed a small bet on that horse. Again, even though it was another long shot, the horse won the race. He collected his winnings and waited anxious to see which horse the priest would bless next. He bet big on it, and it won. As the races continued, the priest kept blessing horses, and each one ended up winning. The bookie was elated. He made a quick dash to the ATM and withdrew all his savings and waited for the priest to bless the last horse at the last race. True to his pattern, the priest stepped onto the horse for the final race and blessed the forehead of an older horse that was 100-1. This time, though, the priest blessed not only the forehead, the eyes and ears and hooves of this older horse. The bookie knew he had a winner and bet every penny that he owned on that horse. The race began, but then he watched in horror as the horse pulled up, staggered, and then fell to the track dead. In a state of shock, he went to the track area where the priest was. Confronting him, he demanded, "Father, what happened? All day long you blessed horses, and they all won. Now in this last race, the horse you blessed never had a chance. And thanks to you, I have lost every penny of my savings." The priest nodded with sympathy. "You're not an Episcopalian, are you, my son?" "No, I'm Jewish," said the bookie. "That's the problem," said the priest. "You couldn't tell the difference between a blessing and last rites." It's important to know the difference between last rites and a blessing. It's important, in fact, to know if we are being blessed, because sometimes it's hard to know by looking at one's outward circumstances. Let's look at Mary as a case in point. Elizabeth says to Mary, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." Mary herself says a couple verses later, "Behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed." Today, when we think we're blessed, typically when we think in terms of good things that God's given us or good circumstances in which we might find ourselves. For example, I could say that I am blessed because I have this wonderful job being your priest. Or I'm blessed because I have a lovely wife. Or because I have a beautiful home or a reliable car. God has given me these things and I am so blessed, right? We know blessings are something really good. And we know that Mary was blessed. She says it right here in the Bible. But let's look at her life events. What good things does Mary have because of God's blessing? When she said she was blessed, she knew she was pregnant outside of wedlock. Was it good that others thought that she was having an illegitimate baby? That Joseph and her friends would think that she had been unfaithful? Because of her pregnancy, Joseph didn't want to marry her. Further, her life was actually in danger because unfaithfulness during one's engagement in the first century was a stoning offense. She could have been killed. And then, during the last days of her pregnancy, she has to travel by foot to Bethlehem. We see in the pictures that she's on this donkey. But since Joseph was not wealthy and animals were very expensive, the odds are that there was no donkey. She had to walk the entire way. It would be comparable in distance to walk, say, from this church to Orlando. If you walk up Deltona and walk down Route 50, following Route 50, all its winding way to Orlando, when you get to Orlando to I-4, that's about the same distance. And don't forget that Palestine was not flat, is not flat like it is here in Florida. There were lots of hills and valleys to go up and down. And don't forget, she's 9 months pregnant. And they had to carry all their food, extra clothing, and Joseph's tools. And they slept out at night. No Holiday Inns on the way. No doubt Joseph carried a lot of their stuff that they carried, but still, it was not an easy trip. We're talking 4, maybe 5 or 6 days of walking. They finally get to Bethlehem, and we know the story. There's no room in the inn. She goes into labor, and probably in a cave or some stable amongst the livestock. Now, if it were you or me, we'd probably not say at this point in time that we were feeling very blessed. Later, the wise men find them a year or so later, and Mary and Joseph are in a home then, our house. The wise men leave them with some pretty nice gifts, and things are looking up. We might look at our life right now and go, okay, now she's being blessed. But then, a night or two after the wise men leave, Joseph wakes up in the middle of the night and wakes Mary and tells her, we've got to leave. We've got to leave right now. They walk again to Egypt. More days of walking in order to hide from King Herod. She has to leave everything behind. They leave probably with the gifts of the wise men, the clothes on their back, and again, probably Joseph's tools. And although she's not 9 months pregnant this time, she has a toddler in tow. Running through the night for one's life is not typically a scene where we would call ourselves blessed. Some years later, they return to Israel. They settle in one of the poorest communities in Israel, Nazareth. All too soon, her husband Joseph dies relatively young, and she is left with at least 6 children. Jesus was between 12 and perhaps his early 20s. Now, would you call her life blessed? Now? Jesus leaves home when he's 30 to become a famous rabbi and miracle worker, but within 3 short years, he's crucified. Okay, so tell me again, why do we call Mary blessed? We get that she's the mother of Jesus. But other than that, could we call her life blessed? The answer, by the way, is yes. But in order to understand why, we need to have a paradigm shift. That is, we need to learn to think like God thinks. Our natural tendency is to view our situation with our world's values. But how God thinks is not the same as how our world thinks. How could Mary say she was blessed even though she ends up having a really tough life? Clearly, blessing has to mean something more than simply having your life go smoothly and prosperously. Mary knew she was blessed. She was not simply saying religious words. She knew it because she knew God approved of her. The angel Gabriel himself had come to her and said, "Hail, highly favored one. God Almighty favored Mary. She was one of his favorite people. God loved her and she knew it. This understanding of how God thought of her was the primary source of her being blessed. It's the foundation of understanding any blessing from God. When you and I understand, when you and I begin to grasp how much God loves us, despite any of our outward circumstances, it is at that point we too can understand God's blessing. Perhaps not blessed like Mary, but certainly blessed. Secondly, she could say she was blessed because she believed God was going to fulfill what he said. Mary had faith in God. She really believed what God told her. That's a key, isn't it? She really believed it. And the last time we see her in scriptures, she's waiting with the 11 disciples in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, waiting for the promised Holy Spirit to come down from heaven, still having faith, still believing. I see many Christians struggle with really believing. They struggle with really believing that God cares for them and loves them. So from where does Mary's faith come? From where does she get this faith to sustain her through what would be a very hard life? Scripture teaches us that faith comes first through hearing God's word. We can't believe and have faith in what God says unless we first know what he says. And we hear God's word by listening to it when it's read and by reading it on our own. As we listen and hear his word, it helps us to know him better and to believe. But faith also is a gift. And we can pray that God will give us faith. We can pray that God will strengthen the faith we have. I love that part in one of the gospel stories when Jesus asks a father if he has faith that his son can be healed. The father replies, "I believe, but help my unbelief." That's you and me too, isn't it? We need God's help to overcome our unbelief, our doubts. Mary was blessed. Even aside from her being the mother of Jesus Christ, she was a blessed woman. And you and I can be blessed as well. But it's important to understand what being blessed is. We need to know the difference between what God calls blessed and what the world calls blessed. Understand how God thinks of you, how he views you. Understand that he loves you so much, he sent Jesus to die for you. And then pray that God will strengthen your faith in him. And be blessed. Amen.